appreciate that you've been waiting here a while. As the bills were assigned to us, several of them had subsequent referral to Ways and Means, and I'm going to ask Jan to explain what we've discovered in the last few days regarding that subsequent referrals.
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, in the last half hour, I spoke to the fiscal office, and on Senate Bill 372, which has a Ways and Means referral, they thought that the fiscal was probably going to be minimal. They weren't quite finished with their fiscal. 124, they thought that would be a minimal fiscal impact, and the Ways and Means referral could be rescinded. 827, they really hadn't had a chance to look at. 510 doesn't have a referral, and 456, they didn't see a fiscal on that either. And so, essentially, all our bills could go to the floor.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
thank you, Senator Cariola. That's the chair's desire that these bills go directly to the floor and not go to Ways and Means, and so we'll be asking the President to rescind the referral to Ways and Means.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
And with that, I'm going to open the work session on Senate Bill 372. This is a bill that we've had up several times. We've had a number of people in Morrow County working very hard to reach an agreement. They have done that. They have signed an agreement which they've worked out between them, and that's incorporated in the Dash 9 amendments. And if we adopt the Dash 9 amendments, I believe the bill is ready to go to the floor with a D-class recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, move the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 372.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 9 amendments to Senate Bill 372. Any further discussion? Any comments? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Senator Farioli, could you move the Senate Bill?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill 372 to the floor with a due pass recommendation as amended.
With this.
You might say the rescission just a second.
Senate Farioli has moved Senate Bill 372 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, with the understanding we are asking for rescinding of the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
That is the substance of my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Senator Farioli. Clerk, call the roll.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 372, as amended, is sent to the Senate floor with a D-pass recommendation. And the chair will carry. Close the work session on Senate Bill 372. Open a work session on Senate Bill 124. Again, a bill that has, I believe, with the amendments, reached considerable agreement among the parties, and Jan, would you tell us what the Dash 1 amendments do for us?
The Dash 1 amendments are from the OSBA, and they had requested that if an applicant requests a law waiver, that they go ahead and notify the proposed sponsor or the school district if the school district is not the proposed sponsor prior to submitting the waiver application, so they're aware of it, and it's a 10-day notice.
Mr. Chairman, move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 124.
Senator Farioli has moved the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 124. Discussion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chairman, move Senate Bill 124 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation with a letter of request to rescind the subsequent referral to Ways and Means.
Thank you, Senator Farioli. Senator Farioli has moved Senate Bill 124 as amended to the floor for the DuPage recommendation with a letter requesting that we rescind the referral to Ways and Means. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Fairman.
Aye.
Senator Morissette.
Aye.
Vice Chair Decker. Chair Starr.
Aye. I've received the necessary majority. Senate Bill 124 is moved to the floor with the DuPage recommendation. Subsequent with a letter requesting.
And a carrier.
A carrier. Senator Ferriola, would you carry this bill for us?
Pleasure, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. Senator Ferriola is carrier. We open a work session on, or close the work session on Senate Bill 124 and open a work session on Senate Bill 510. We have amendments to Senate Bill 510 that substantially change the original. And Janet, would you explain those amendments for us?
Sure. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 510 in its original form had to do with retaining students or promoting students and whether they had the skills to go ahead and be promoted. It required a written notice to the parent when the district determined that the student was at risk of not meeting standards, and the parent signed the document, and a written explanation as to why advancement would be educational desirable for the student, and would prohibit advancement of the student if the student had not met the reading standard prior to the end of grade 3. Senator Starr has amended the bill to basically direct school districts to develop policies and procedures for promoting or retaining students to a new grade level. And it requires that the teacher notify the principal and explain to the principal what their reasoning was, and that a conference be held with the parent explaining the status of the student, and that the parent ultimately would be the judge about whether the student would be retained or promoted. But in the instance where the parent disagreed with the district's recommendation, the parent would sign a form releasing the school district of responsibility.
May I ask a question? Okay, the parent is ultimately responsible for making that decision. And if the school district recommends retaining the child, holding them back, the parent disagrees, and the child is moved forward, then there is a forum that the district will, the parent will sign releasing the school district. Tell me that last part again.
If the parent and the school district disagree,
yeah,
and the student is either promoted or retained,
okay,
against the school district's recommendation, then the parent would sign a form that was developed by the school district stating as much, that it was against the school district's recommendation. And this wording is based on a couple of standard policies and procedures, model standards at OSBA. We based them on that, and we believe most schools probably have something like this, and that's what their foundation is.
Okay. That's
we in work session.
Yeah, we're in work session, and the chair would entertain a motion to adopt the attachment amendment.
Mr. Chair, can I ask just one question, perhaps of you as the sponsor, or Jan, might be a technical one. My concern is in Section 2, the first line, which is, each school district shall adopt this policy, and it might register an objection on my part that we would be requiring the school districts to adopt this policy. I'm encouraged to hear that many or most do have this policy, but I guess that would be just a concern that floats into my head of requiring each school district to adopt this particular policy. And that just lights up concern for myself.
Well, I appreciate your concern. I think that because that is what schools do, is for most students who are holding back, that they should have a policy regarding how that is accomplished. And I think this is it's good policy. I would.
James in the audience, if you wanted to ask a question, Jim.
Chair, Mr. Marshall.
Yes, Mr. Marshall, please come forward.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Marshall representing the Oregon School Board Association, and I think your question has to do with the extent to which school districts have policies in place dealing with retention of students. We prepare sample policies for school districts and have a number of policies from that have been adopted by school boards in our office. And I don't believe that any school district does not have some form of a policy that deals with the issue of retention. And I would submit that the policies that have been adopted set up a procedure whereby professional educators sit down with parents and try to figure out what's in the best interest of a student. There's a lot of research that suggests that retention is not a very good idea because it has both educational drawbacks as well as emotional drawbacks for students. But any time that there's a suggestion that's made, if parents are involved, professional educators, and they look and determine what they believe is in the best interest of the student. And I think these amendments reflect pretty well the policies that most school districts already have. And it seems to me to sort of lay out more specifically exactly what those policies should contain.
Further questions?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you. John, I guess the concern I would have, and it's I appreciate that. That's actually really helpful in reviewing the dash tubes. The concern that I would have, and it's something that I've stated probably more times than I could count to education groups, is that I won't come down to Salem and put shall adopt these policies into state statute, because in many ways I don't consider myself to be the one that ought to do that. And so I think your answer was a good one, but it might be just my philosophical problem and statement that I've made that would exclude me from supporting, but I'd give you the opportunity to tell me I'm wrong.
The policy service that we provide to our member school districts consists of what we call a policy update. And as you can imagine, a school district's policy book sometimes are large three-ring binders and maybe in several volumes. We are constantly updating that policy book through those policy updates based on administrative rules that are adopted by a variety of agencies that affect school districts, not just the Department of Education, federal law and federal regulations. And we would include this within that policy update. The legislature passed a bill that requires these policies. And, oh, by the way, here's a sample policy or a couple of versions of a sample policy that you might want to adopt to comply with this requirement. School districts shall, if the question is this a mandate by the legislature on the school districts, the answer is yes. Is this an onerous, expensive, unfunded mandate that the civilization as we know it will end if this bill becomes law? No.
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary Oley.
We're in work session.
I wanted to ask a question. Anyone else have a question? Federal IDEA regulations has requirements not dissimilar to this, or do you know?
Left behind.
Regarding retention of a student?
Yeah. They don't get involved in that.
I don't know. I know that the IDEA requires an IEP team to sit down with parents and professional educators and specialists to look at a student's particular needs and help develop a plan for that student that involves the parents. but I'm not aware about any kind of a federal regulations regarding retention of special needs students.
Thank you.
Maybe somebody that does. I'm not all-knowing, contrary to popular belief.
What popular belief?
Oh, you can sit back there better than I can.
We're in work session.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 5. Where are we?
5.
That's Senate Bill 510, the dash.
Two amendments,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Farioli has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 510. Further discussion?
I support this bill. I've mentioned before, I think, that I did support an effort to make sure that students are able to read, as if they are capable of learning to read. Now, we all understand that there are different levels of capacity. Some students who are tested are put into a special category of need, and I'm not talking about them. I'm concerned about non-parental involvement. I like the idea that parents do have the final say, but I think this requires them to be more involved if the child is to be held back, or if them to be held back. That forces the parent to be involved. So I support this.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Is there further discussion? Let's call a roll on the question.
Senator Farioli.
Aye.
Senator Morsett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Zucker.
No.
And Chair Stark.
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, the dash two amendments are adopted into the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move Senate Bill 510 is amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. And is this one that had a... This does not have.
It does not have.
Thank you.
Subsequent referral. Further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Senator Farioli.
Aye.
Senator Morsett.
Aye.
Vice Chair Zucker.
No.
Chair Stark.
Aye. I received the necessary majority. Senate Bill 510... move to the floor for the due pass recommendation. The chair will carry. Close the work session on Senate Bill 510. And we open the work session on Senate Bill 456. And Senator Walker, we're not hearing your bill today.
A couple people were prepared.
Thanks for dropping by.
Were we?
We actually worked out a deal on that.
We just worked out a deal on that. Okay.
Can we just make a short little
minute? Yeah, we will rescind my opening of work session on 456, and we will open a work session on Senate Bill. What's his name?
827, Mr. Chair.
827.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for indulging me. And I truly, it's not going to take very long at all. I have seated next to me Pam Levitt with the Credit Union Association and Lisa Zavala with the Oregon University System. And Ms. Zavala provided you with a copy of a letter outlining the programs that are currently in place at the universities around the state. And Ms. Levitt has some information about the programs they do. And I'll let them just tell you what they've committed to doing. And based on those commitments, I'm happy to withdraw my bill. So if you would indulge their brief comments to you, we'd be happy to leave.
All right.
Lisa, do you want to go first?
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Lisa Zavala with the Chancellor's Office, Oregon University System. I did submit a letter to you and outlined what our campuses are doing with regard to providing money management and debt educational programs for our students on campuses. There's a vast variety of different approaches. I did speak with Ms. Levitt in the hall, and I think what we would like to do is take some of the programs that they're offering, for example, the National High School Financial Planning Program, and try to incorporate that as, at our campuses level, have the credit unions come in on a more maybe coordinated and cohesive effort to participate in our student orientation. So Pam and I will advance some of that material to our campuses. I think it's a great idea. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Pam Levitt with the Credit Union Association. Before I start, I want to tell you this is my first time testifying before a Senate Education or House Education Committee, so thrilled to be here. The credit unions in Oregon and nationally are extremely involved in financial education. We volunteer countless hours of time in many of the high schools and volunteer some of our financial education programs at some of the college campuses. I submit to you some background material. We'll get a copy of our little booklet that Senator Walker, I think, held up at the last hearing about our role in financial education. While we would like it mandated, we understand that there are budget constraints and political constraints for mandating anything. We would like financial education back in our high schools, back in our college courses, but it's a problem. Bankruptcies are on a rise. People are having huge problems. The number of people going to payday and title lenders are on the rise, and that concerns us, and we're trying to find solutions to help educate people on financial education. So we offer our services into just continuing to improve the dialogue, and we'll be thrilled over the interim to work on maybe some solutions that don't involve a legislative mandate. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could those courses be offered in remote locations, distance learning offering?
Absolutely, Senator. In John Day, Oregon would be the
somewhere closer to Salem. Large public buildings typified mm-hmm. by
Capitol Dome.
With an old man on top.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence. I want to thank the Oregon Student Association for bringing this issue to my attention and for all the parties I'm working on this negotiated arrangement.
Thank you, Senator Walker.
Thank you.
No bill. Work session on Senate Bill 827. Open a work session on Senate Bill 456. Okay, bring us back up to date on.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 456 is Senator Morissette's bill. And the original bill required public school personnel who believed a student had a behavioral or psychological problem to send a letter home and to recommend that a licensed physician conduct a medical or some sort of health evaluation, psychological. And it also prohibited the letter recommending medications for the students that would alter their mood or behavior or thought processes. And Senator Morissette has had -2 amendments drafted, and everything's stapled together. And he has also enclosed a letter from him stating that the -2 amendments take care of objections that were raised at the earlier meeting by the Department of Education with the Special Ed Department. And so those amendments are before you, and basically they say that school personnel may not recommend to a parent or legal guardian of a student that the student seek a prescription for medication that is prescribed with the intent of affecting or altering the thought processes, mood, or behavior of the student. I think that's the nut of it. It says nothing in this section prohibits a teacher or other school personnel from communicating with a parent or legal guardian of a student concerning the behavior of the student at school. And also, nothing in this bill would relieve a school district of the duty to identify, locate, and evaluate students with disabilities.
Okay. Well, I just want to say briefly that there was some concern about the first part of the bill, at which I had a concern, because I don't think the school should suggest that the child has a psychological problem. They should suggest there is a behavior problem and let the parent, you know, they could define the behavior problem, but the behavior problem could be due to a tag student who is bored out of their mind doing weird things, and that has happened where tag students have been given drugs that they shouldn't have received because it was not the problem. And so before drugs are administered, there has to be some examinations, and it should not be a suggestion of the school that there is a psychological problem. I mean, that's the gist of what we're trying to do here. And we did confer with the Department of Education and others about their objection to the bill, which is, I think, great, because that does put it in perspective and takes the onus off of the school and the parent both, and simply says, you know, there's a behavior problem, check it out.
Further discussion?
Mr. Chair, I would move the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 456.
Senator Morissette has moved the -2 amendments to Senate Bill 456. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I'm going to have the same concern, and I would allow Senator Morissette to maybe allay that concern, the same concern that I have with other bills, where the intent is about as noble on the first bill, and certainly in this bill, about as noble as you can find. It's just, I think in some ways I made a commitment.
No, well, tell me the word you're concerned about here.
May not. On line 3.
We're talking about the amendment.
The -2s.
What's your concern?
That it's, I mean, and it just goes back to my core point, that a kindergarten through grade school 12 public school administrator, teacher, counselor, or nurse may not recommend to a parent or kindergarten of a student that the student seek a prescription for, well, it's us telling.
Yeah, they may not recommend a student seek a prescription. That's what they do now, and that's the purpose of this bill, because that's not their role, is to tell a parent that they should get medication for their child. What they do tell them is, your child has a behavior problem, have an examination and find out what the cause of the behavior problem is. So this doesn't say that they have to do something. It tells them that they can't do something, which is to diagnose. They cannot diagnose the child's need, and that's what it prevents them from doing.
I guess the question I would have, Mr. Chair, is there, and I do not know the answer to this, is there a problem? There is a problem with teachers or administrators diagnosing?
Yes.
There is.
And there has been significant testimony to that effect, that the teacher will tell a parent that they won't necessarily say what the behavior is. They'll say, your child is out of control. You need to get some medication, Ritalin or whatever, to
which is that child.
Yeah, and that's not proper for the school to say. They should describe the behavior, which can be very out of control. You know, the child is not paying attention, the child is interfering with other people learning, the child is acting out, the child is doing this, the child is doing that. Well, that's not normal behavior. But I don't know, you know, but you have to determine what the cause and what the remedy is for the behavior. And it necessarily isn't medication, and that's the problem. Maybe because they're tag kids, and I think we heard testimony that very bright students whose needs are not being met exhibit some of the same behavior problems, but medication is not the answer in that case. So trust me. This is not an unfunded mandate.
I agree. This is not. I would agree. There probably is no funding consideration.
Well, no. I'm. Let me rephrase that. It's not telling a school district that they have to do something. It's telling them that there are things that they shouldn't be doing.
Uh-huh.
Like diagnosing. That is, they're not for medical people. They can't say that medication is a solution to the problem. Is what this is. That's the purpose of this bill.
Which I would tend to agree. Well, you probably have 3, so I'll be the one.
Okay. It would be the same if we didn't have 1. I hope we have.
Call the roll, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Vice Chair Decker?
No.
Chair Starr?
Aye. I received necessary majority. Yes.
Yeah, did you ever move it as amended? I just might have missed it, but you might just repeat.
Yeah,
the -2s.
No, we're moving. This is a vote on the -2 amendment.
Yeah,
sorry.
-2s. Mr. Chair, I would move.
Wait just a minute.
Oh, wait.
having received the necessary majority, that as two amendments are amended into the bill.
Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 456 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
And rescind the Ways and Means referral.
And rescind the Ways and Means referral, yes.
Senator Morissette has moved Senate Bill 456 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation rescinding the referral to Ways and Means. Any further discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Ernie?
Aye.
Senator Morissette?
Aye.
Vice Chair Dicker?
No.
Chair Starr?
Aye. Having received the necessary majority, Senate Bill 456 moved the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation, and Senator Morissette will carry it.
No, I want Senator, I will carry it. Senator Dicker will not carry it.
I'm not sure you can carry it if you vote not, can you?
Of course you can.
If you carry it and vote now.
Yeah.
going to close the work session on Senate Bill 456 and adjourn the Senate Education Committee. I believe Senator Ferrioli wants to carry